Support for KNKX's studio sessions comes from the University of Puget Sound, an independent liberal arts university. Through scholarly engagement and collaborative education, Puget Sound prepares students for careers in the arts, sciences, research, and entrepreneurship. More at pugetsound.edu.
Hello, I'm Abe Beeson, coming to you from the stage at Demetriou's Jazz Alley, Seattle's premier venue for the very best in jazz and much more. KNKX is honored to partner with the Alley to bring you this exclusive session from three men who've made their own mark on the organ trio since their first collaborations more than 30 years ago. It's Larry Goldings, guitarist Peter Bernstein, and drummer Bill Stewart. Their latest album is the 2022 release Perpetual Pendulum, and they're recording a new record right now. Live at Jazz Alley, we were able to capture this wonderful group on three great songs, Larry Goldings, Peter Bernstein, and Bill Stewart with This Guy's in Love With You on 88.5 KNKX. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. excited to have you three with me for an interview. And I would like to start with a little history and connection to the first record that Larry did, Intimacy of the Blues. 1991 was the first record with this trio. And I wonder if there's anything, you know, almost 35 years later that you look at your fellow musicians and go, oh, that's classic Bill, or that's classic Peter, you know, something that you remember about those early days that it is still in the personality of your fellow musicians. Larry, can you start?
Well, for me, that was, I was very new to playing the real Hammond B3, and was sort of offered to go into the studio, and I initially said no, because I still sort of, even though we had this band, I kind of felt like, I think I need a few more years at, you know, on this instrument. I remember feeling that. In fact, when I go listen to it, I hear a different, you know, bass stops that I wouldn't use today and things like the things that I wouldn't do today. But, and I haven't listened to it in a really long time, but, I do remember feeling like, you know, we felt like a band, you know, and it was worth documenting, and these guys were already two of my favorite musician peers, you know, and it was quite a thrill. That's what I remember, going to the studio to make a record under your name, you know. That's mostly what I don't go back and listen to it,
right.
But that's mostly what I think about.
Bill, do you remember those days and working with these two in that trio setting for the first time, and things that you might have heard on stage tonight or in the last few years go, oh, yeah, I remember, you know, Peter was doing that same lick or playing. Larry was doing those same things back in the day. Or have things really changed drastically?
Things have changed. I'd like to think we've all gotten better on our instruments and a little more, you know, a little more personal. And, you know, that's a long time ago. So, you know, everybody's sound has changed probably a little bit. I know my sound has changed a little bit. And but it was, those were fun days. And, you know, I remember being very happy about doing it at the time, you know, and thinking that it was, you know, representative of what we did. So it was a good record to have out at that point. It was great. You know, I hope we got a little better at, but they say either get better or you get worse. So we'll see.
And Peter, I wonder if you can find any connections between that 91 album.
Well, I'm like Larry, I haven't really gone back and listened to it, but I mean, I remember those times very vividly, and it was just, we were just doing what we still do, which is just find some tunes we like to play and let an arrangement kind of just come together. And that's kind of what we still do. But as Bill says, we've all had many years of experience since then, not just together, but out in the world with other musicians and with others. So we're, you know, growing as people, but and as individual musicians and stuff. But it was always nice to, over the years, come back and play and still feel that connection and familiarity. So, yeah, I mean, I think we were all basically who we are back then, but yeah, I mean, definitely have improved, and just over years of playing together, that bond just strengthens, you know.
Yeah, I wonder some 35 years later if it is just like falling off a log when you guys get together. How much work goes into a trio show for you guys?
I look at it as the best combination because, you know, when you play improvised music, you want to feel comfortable to take chances. And at the same time, playing with people that know you so well, you're kind of more, I don't want Bill to feel like, oh yeah, that's something that I've been playing for the last 20 years or something like, you know, so you try to, you know, you feel comfortable to try new stuff, but at the same time you fall into your patterns and you're playing a song and you just try to, you know, keep the interpretation basically the same and just be free and loose with that interpretation from night to night. But I just like it because I feel comfortable with these guys and know that whatever I do, it's going to be cool no matter what, if I fall on my face, but they'll keep it together. And at the same time, there is that kind of, you're encouraged to stress. These guys know you too well. You can't, you know, family and old friends, you can't, they know you, so you can't BS, you know. They know you too well. You can't pretend you're... So that's a good thing. It's a good place to be in, I think, when you play music. You know?
And what is the communication on like on stage like with you guys? Is it just basically just listening to each other, or is there more involved interaction going on? Larry?
I insist that they wear earpieces now so I can say, your solo is too long, stop, you know. No, it's listening, and it's visual cues are often very important, like we're going back to the head or you've got it or but I think everybody in this band plays with such clarity, you know, that if I wasn't looking, which often I can be buried in my own world. If I'm not looking, it's very clear how Bill and Peter give you cues, musical cues. Yes, it's mostly listening, and but we like to set up close, as you can see, so that we do have a very good visual of each other, you know. Yeah.
And this is such a unique organ trio. I mean, it doesn't fall into the stereotype at all, because all three of you are such diverse, talented musicians. It's just a matter of the three of you coming together. But I wonder if there's something about the organ trio that makes it special. Bill?
About the instrumentation, you mean?
Yeah.
For me, from a drum set perspective, you know, the organ can be very loud, or it can also be very soft. Larry has the controls over there, but it can really get loud. So in a sense, it sort of matches the dynamic range of the drums. And so we play kind of a little with the wider dynamic range than I usually play in groups that don't have organ, actually, or especially with groups with piano. Like, there's sort of a cutoff point for a drummer to make that sound good, say, in a room like this at Jazz Alley, you know, because, you know, you have the drums leaking into the piano mics and all this kind of stuff. So I can play a little stronger, and I, you know, there's something about the sound of the organ that is very warm and just goes nice with the drums and guitar. You know, it's a good match, you know.
So. I think a lot of people, they go to see an organ trio show, they're expecting something with the word greasy in it at some point. But this band is so much more than that. And I wonder if you can talk about how you've kind of redefined what the organ trio can sound like, Larry.
I'm not really sure if we've redefined anything. I know that I'm originally a piano player, so I was influenced by piano players more than organ players, but what I love about what I loved about the piano stuff that I was listening to, or just all the music in general I was listening to, was the eclectic, you know, sort of eclectic repertoire and the kinds of trios that are really communicating with each other, where not one person is always at the center of attention. And traditionally in the organ trio, the organ is really the center, and the guitar historically takes kind of a back seat. And I think one of the main differences maybe with our trio is that Peter plays a lot of the melodies, which I love him to do, so that I can be an orchestrator and color what's going on and not be the one who's always playing melodies, you know. So there's a much more democratic kind of balance between, you know, and as you said before, everybody has a very strong voice, so I think that's important to come through. And the repertoire, as you were sort of getting to, you know, is not your typical. We'll play a blues maybe in a set, but maybe not. You know, it'll be just things that we like to play, and it just happens to be this instrumentation, you know.
Yeah, I wonder, you're all three really strong composers, too. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if you could talk about whether you're writing compositions and songs that you feel like are geared towards a certain setting, or if you're just writing songs and then you can make them adapt to whatever band you're playing in. Larry?
I think both. Yeah. Like Peter has written songs away from this trio, away from the organ group, and then we see if it works, you know, or see if I know how to approach it at the organ. And oftentimes, I think if it's a good piece of music, oftentimes it will work, you know. By the same token, I've definitely written things specifically for the band, usually because I'm writing it at the organ, maybe at home or whatever. But it's fun to try things that aren't necessarily meant for this combination.
And Peter, same question for you. You write a lot of songs. Are you thinking where you want them to be played?
Not really. I think, you know, me and Larry kind of really came up together. I learned so much music from him, you know, when I was just getting serious about this music, and his tunes, you know, kind of resonate with me. And I think the things I write are, you know, in his wheelhouse too. And of course, you know, Bill's tunes are, you know, we can adapt them, and, you know, It's just a question of, you know, taking on the piece of music and what's involved in it. I think it's just more you write maybe and think about a tune that you play with people, and the instruments they happen to be playing are, you know, important, of course, but it's really just like, yeah, anything can work in any, I mean, Larry can make anything work, you know, so any kind of song. So, you know, to your previous question, our range is a little, you know, wider than whatever, you know, the perception of the traditional organ trio. I don't know if there's anything more than, you know, you refer to it as the grease. I mean, because that's the foundation of not even just organ music, but just kind of, you know, to me, modern jazz. I love the thing that comes from the blues and all that. So, but yeah, repertoire-wise, we just play what we like, and anything can be adapted. There's, you know, there were people doing in the 70s that group with Jan Hammer and Dejanet, and that, they were playing, they were really even more shying away from, you know, that stuff. So, I mean, and Larry Young took things to, you know, I mean, more of an organ player than Jan Hammer, who just played the instrument, but he was more of a keyboard player. So there's been lots of things done that I think it's a pretty wide range of things, avenues to go down. But I really think it's not even based on that. We never kind of thought about, like, what kind of organ trio do we want to be, and how many shuffles should we play, or should we not ever play a shuffle? I mean, we just play what we like, you know, and we happen to be playing these instruments.
Actually, you know, before I heard Jimmy Smith, I heard Mel Ryan, and I think that Mel Ryan was very different for his time.
Yeah.
He wasn't following into the Jimmy Smith pattern at
Yeah.
In terms of style or repertoire, in a way.
I mean, that thing really is an orchestra. You can really get so many different sounds out of it, and, you know, lots of people, you know, Lonnie Smith certainly went, even though he came out of Jimmy Smith very, very strongly, he, you know, he looked at all the different sounds the thing could make, and as does Larry, so.
And Bill, as a drummer, where an organ trio often kind of lets the drummer off the hook, just give us a backbeat, but you are such a colorful player and melodic drummer within this organ trio. I wonder if you could talk about playing with these two and specifically writing for this band.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that I've written so much just for this band. I've written some things that I'm like, that will work, you know, or we could try that. I think I did write actually one thing more or less for the record date, the last one we did. But mostly it's you know, like Peter says, a lot of things can work. Mm-hmm. There might be a few things where you're like, that's maybe not going to work. But it's great to... If I get to hear these guys play my tune, that's great. It's always great to hear that. So, and I think we've all been, you know, writing for the group in recent years, which has been nice, and also playing a lot of, you know, standards and classics of different kinds. You know, standard tunes from, say, Richard Rodgers, Cole Porter, people like that, Irving Berlin. And also, you know, things written by famous jazz musicians like, you know, sure. Yeah.
What a great conversation. Thanks so much to Larry Goldings, Peter Bernstein, and Bill Stewart, the organ, guitar, drums. Big thanks to our friends at Jazz Alley for helping set up today's studio session, including our KNKX studio session team, audio engineer Brian Moynihan, with Jazz Alley's Ted Wright. Thanks, Ted. Video producer Parker Blome, promotions director Brenda Goldstein-Young. I'm Abe Beeson. Thanks so much to you for listening.